It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Oscars are going to be awarded on Sunday night, March the 2nd. Lots of speculation about who will win and also conversation about who among the Oscar nominees is worthy. Here to parse through that and talk about some films that are new to screens around Pittsburgh is our movie critic, Al Hoff, who writes for the Pittsburgh City Paper, with us now in studio. Al, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Academy Awards coming up soon. What films, in your opinion, are the real contenders among the list of Oscar nominees for Best Picture?
Well, pretty much based on some of the critical response and some of the other awards that have already been handed out, probably the two favorites in many categories are going to be American Hustle and 12 Years a Slave.
And why these two particular films, which are very, very different films?
Correct. Well, first off, they both have a lot of nominations. I mean, they sort of have nominations for directing, for multiple cast members, for screenplay, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of potential for them to win, or if one could win big. American Hustle's something of a mystery to me. It was a movie I completely enjoyed watching. I thought it was a lot of fun, very entertaining. I was a little mystified why it racked up so many Academy Award nominations, to be honest with you. It sort of reminded me of Argo, which is a similar sort of film, which sort of loosely based on real events and was also very entertaining, but I didn't think was, you know, the best possible version of film and acting in a given year. And that, to me, is American Hustle. I think people just kind of got swept up in the sort of the fun of it and the goofiness and the wigs and the wide collars and... I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I enjoy the movie, but I don't think it's like the best movie of the year.
Well, it certainly produces the enjoyment of a 70s nostalgia trip. And also, you have actors and actresses who are very hot. And I mean hot in terms of their...
Sure.
Their
But there's not an Academy Award for side boob, right? I mean, Amy Adams would have it locked down if that was the case.
But what about Christian Bale?
You know, if there was a hairpiece award, though I have to say Bad Grandpa is nominated for makeup this year, and that may be the surprise win.
Christian Bale nominated for an Academy Award for his performance in American Hustle. But how does that stack up against performances from 12 Years a Slave, from a movie like Dallas Buyers Club, or one of those?
Christian Bale in American Hustle and Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club have already one huge thing in their favor, which is Oscar loves when people have a physical transformation. If they gain or lose weight, it's always an extra couple points, it seems. I mean, 12 Years a Slave was a fantastic performance. I mean, it was riveting. It was like, you know, I think that's the second favorite. I think that maybe Christian Bale might win or Matthew McConaughey might win. I don't know. I'm speculating.
How can Matthew McConaughey not win? I mean, he's emaciated in this movie, but more than anything else, he creates such an amazing character, and he makes that movie.
Well, I mean, Paul, the thing is, you and I can say there's a fantastic performance. It's the best performance I saw all year. You know, we don't know what tens of thousands of Academy voters are thinking. I mean, every year you think this is the performance that's going to win, and someone else gets the Oscar. You know, I don't know what – we have no idea how they vote. So it's speculative. Yes, I agree. Matthew McConaughey is having a moment. He's been in a number of indie films the last couple years, playing like sort of strange dark roles. He sort of finally shed the skin of his ridiculous rom-coms he used to make. You know, it could be his year. They could turn around and say, yeah, we were going to reward you for essentially, like, you know, manning up and doing some acting for once.
Now, equally as noteworthy of or as noteworthy as the people who are on the list are the people who are not on the list of nominees for Best Actor. Robert Redford was one that a lot of people thought was a person that he's never won.
Correct.
And he was someone that people thought might get a nomination. And did not, although he did win the New York Film Critics Award for his film, which I'm blanking out on the name of.
All is Lost. One Man on a Boat.
Right. Apparently a great, great performance. And then also there is Tom Hanks for Captain Phillips, which a surprise that he wasn't nominated, isn't it?
Yeah, I was sort of surprised about Tom Hanks because he's sort of like a, you know, he's like obviously an industry favorite. I don't think he would have won. He's obviously won before, and I think that factors in. I mean, it was a good performance. I was a little surprised about Robert Redford because it had an element of showiness that the nominating committee seems to like, which is essentially one guy carrying an entire movie and with like 12 words in the entire film. You know, it was essentially, in essence, a true acting performance. You know, he had to convey everything physically. You know, in many ways, there was so much like love for Sandra Bullock in Gravity, which was almost the exact same movie, which is essentially a single person trapped in an inhospitable environment. And how do they deal with it? And I mean, I actually thought her performance was a lot more kind of, it was partly hampered by sort of cheesy dialogue and things like that. I mean, I thought she did a good job. But Robert Redford was really kind of working with nothing, no special, you know, very little special effects, just sunburn and wind and trying to fix a boat. But, you know, it's kind of a mystery what gets nominated and what doesn't.
A sentimental favorite who was nominated, Bruce Dern. Been around a long time, hasn't done much lately, but shows up in the film Nebraska, a black and white film, very stark, very strange, unusual story that turns out in the end for a lot of people to be very heartwarming. And he gets nominated, and a lot of people feel he's the sentimental favorite. What chance does he have of winning, though, Al, in your humble opinion?
I don't think he has any chance. Not this year.
Not at all.
No, I mean, not up against the people who are also in that category. I mean, it could be a complete surprise, you know. I mean, he could be the, you know, every year there's sort of one category where nobody gets it right and somebody comes out of left field and wins. I just don't think, I mean, it's a pretty strong group this year, and I just don't see him winning.
We're talking with Pittsburgh City Paper film critic Al Hoff, who visits with us from time to time to talk about movies. And it's a great time to do that because it's cold out. So my favorite time of year to go in and watch movies. And we'll get to some of what is out there now. But I before we get done with the Oscar talk, and again, that's another reason why we wanted to talk to Al, because the Oscars are coming up again on Sunday, March 2nd. Those who vote. Nowadays, the members of the Academy who vote are not going to theaters to watch the movies. They are given screeners. They may be watching on a screen at home. And you feel, Al, that in some way skews the voting. Explain how so.
Sure, it could. And let me just say for the record, they don't necessarily have to watch them on screeners. People can and do go to the films.
Right. But for the sake of convenience, if you're going to see them all.
But absolutely. They are – people who are voting members often get issued screeners for these films where they can essentially watch them at home on a disc. I mean, as someone who watches movies in a theater full of people, in an empty theater, on a disc at home, I mean, I'm very cognizant of the difference of seeing a film this way. Even home viewers know this, watching something on a DVD or on Netflix. Gravity is a great example. That's a film that in a theater, in a 3D experience, was just remarkable. I mean, people, you really felt like you're in outer space. It felt fraught. It was gorgeous. You know, you take away a lot of the special effects from that film, and the story was kind of dumb. A lot of the dialogue was pretty Lifetime. It was like the whole sick kid thing. I mean, I don't want to give it away, but, you know, there was some Lifetime stuff going on there. I mean, I called it a Lifetime movie in space. I mean, I thought that the experience of it, like, was able to transcend that. But that was the experience in the theater.
But in other words, you're saying that the theater experience was able to convince you of this is a woman who's in space and she's in trouble.
Right. I mean, there were other things about it distracted you from the sort of dumbness of the story. If you're watching that at home on your TV, that's a completely different experience. You have to be much more cognizant of sort of the artifice of it, of sort of the lame dialogue. And another film that I think would be affected by not seeing in a theater is, you know, one that's a big contender, 12 Years a Slave. There was a lot of press when that came out about people who were very disturbed watching it, people who said, even I walked out of the theater, I was very uncomfortable, I cried. It made me feel awkward. I was, you know, I was in a room with, like, other people, and I was uncomfortable by their reaction. It's a very emotional, very hot-button, obviously, issue. Watching that at home, say, by yourself, in your, like, man cave, completely different experience. Mm-hmm. It is a hard movie to watch. I'm not going to dispute that. You can not watch it. You can stop watching it. You can fast-forward through it. There's nothing stopping you from doing that in a private space. It's much more difficult in a theater to get up and walk out of a movie.
Or tell the projectionist, hey, can you fast forward past this?
You know, was a movie that engendered, like, you know, pretty obvious emotional responses from people. If you're in a theater and someone behind you is sobbing, that's going to color your experience of that film versus you're watching that by yourself. I mean, I'm not saying that people who are voting can't process these things and be fair in their vote. But, I mean, it is an interesting thing in the last few years where essentially a lot of these award shows have shifted to screeners, and it's a different experience.
So the message to any of the folks listening in who have a vote, who are members of the Academy, Al Hoff's message, get to the theater. Okay. Speaking of getting to the theater, some movies that are out now. You just saw RoboCop.
I really, really big fan of the original film.
With Peter Weller.
Right, from, I think, 87. You know, it was a pulpy B-movie that was actually a lot smarter than you thought it was going to be. It was sort of like a satire of a lot of stuff that was going on at the time. The new one had a lot of interesting places to go. I mean, some of the issues that were originally raised about the sort of privatization of policing, about the use of, like, you know, robots, drones, are a lot more relevant today than they were, you know, almost 30 years ago. But unfortunately, the film just kind of slightly raises these issues and then sort of drops them. And it's I'm not probably going to be recommending it.
A film that I am really interested in and have not seen yet, Monuments Men. You've seen it. Do you recommend this film? This is the one about the guys, World War II. You have George Clooney. And
big cast, yeah. Bill Murray, John Goodman, Bob Balaban, Matt Damon, Kate Blanchett. Awesome cast. Great real life story. You know, at the end of World War II, when the Germans are falling apart, you know, the U.S. sends in a group of people who are mostly architects and art historians and people like that to essentially track down and save all of the art that the Nazis looted. And, I mean, it was epic. They looted millions of pieces of art and stashed it away. This is an actual true story. I got to be honest with you, it's a much better story told in a documentary that was out a couple years ago called The Art of Europa. The film it's not bad, but it's not good. It's very much a Hollywood version of a true story. There's only 7 people in it versus hundreds of people that actually made up this unit. Everything happens in a kind of a Hollywood way, you know, like not very realistic. It doesn't really have a lot of tension. It can't quite find its tone. It's sort of George Clooney, Matt Damon jokey in some parts, and then like someone sort of abruptly killed, and then there's sort of like a Holocaust reference, and then there's like another joke, and it's not bad, but it kind of feels like something you would want to watch on an airplane or just some lazy snowy night. I don't know that I would want to pay $10 to see it.
Okay. Well,
though I do recommend the documentary, The Art of Europa, which is the same topic.
Well, there you have it. Al Hoff telling it as it is.
Boom.
She writes about film in the Pittsburgh City Paper and joins us periodically here on Essential Pittsburgh. It's been a while. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Oscars.
Thank you.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up on 90.5 WESA.